Rusty Quill Presents Chapter and Multiverse. Welcome back. The Betwixt and Between is always ready to welcome such a loyal customer as yourself. I had a feeling you'd be dropping by today, so I made sure to get up to date on the antics of our young superhero friends. Last we spoke, Morgan had just had a vision of Poltergeist's location. But, as a result, she momentarily lost control of her energy absorption powers, much to her distress.
Hello and welcome back to Chapter and Multiverse, the actual play podcast where we explore the same city across multiple parallel universes. I am your game master, Maddie Searle. My pronouns are she, her. And today we are continuing our campaign of Masks, a New Generation, which is designed by Brendan Conway and allows our players to take on the role of young superheroes. But before we go any further, I must introduce our wonderful and talented players. Could you please let me know your name and pronouns and your character's name and pronouns, starting with Lydia?
Hi, I'm Lydia She. I'm playing Minnie Smithson. She, her. Not going to say she's a human. Goes unspoken.
And Lori.
Hello, I am Lori Ann Davis. I'm playing Blade with Morgan. She, her, both of us.
Nice. And Ahmed.
Hi, I'm Ahmed Al Jabri. And as always, I'm stoked to be here. I'm playing Adib bin Yaslam, aka the Turban. Adib's pronouns are he and him.
Beautiful. And Pip.
Hi there. I'm Pip Gladwin, and I will be playing Joseph Teller, aka Zenith, and his pronouns are he, him, as are mine.
Excellent. So, last we left off, Morgan had just had a vision of Poltergeist in some dingy room somewhere, planning some kind of nefarious activity at Chapter Central Hospital, and Minnie has just collapsed from the energy absorption that Morgan unwittingly used as the vision took hold, having been caught by Zenith. So as we pick up, and I think Adib is probably just even sleepier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe not a huge amount of difference, or maybe it's just a very nice deep sleep. Who knows? would you like to do?
So Morgan will come out of her vision, like, and kind of fall forwards. And in my head, if she's close to like the coffee table or something, like puts her arm out and just smashes straight through it because she's obviously absorbed so much energy. Like, so she's shaking, her eyes are almost like lamps, so green. Because, I mean, also, Minnie's energy was probably pretty special, actually, because, like, she's never absorbed...
Weird energy given off.
Weird, because you've absorbed energy from humans before.
Yeah.
So, how strange that...
Yeah. I maybe her hair's glowing a bit as well, actually, because that's something that Minnie's hair does, right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, a bit of iridescence in there.
She's shaking, and she probably, I mean, I imagine she's not going to be taking in what's around her, and she's just going to come to and be like, I know a poltergeist is going to be tonight, and kind of like try and steady herself.
I think you can see Zenith is holding an unconscious Minnie, and has like backed up from you a bit.
Yeah,
I remain unconscious.
Oh no. I mean, Morgan's gonna be devastated and just kind of like push herself right back against the wall. What happened? What is Minnie okay?
Minnie's fine. Just stay still, stay calm. Okay. Minnie's gonna be fine.
Did I do that?
I am not evidently fine. I am unconscious.
I am lying to this extremely powerful woman.
She's freaking out.
Yep. Need to keep her calm. She just put her... I mean, I've seen her do strong stuff before, but there's usually an element of effort, and I feel like the... going through the coffee table wasn't even really like a slam. You just kind of put your hand on it and just went through it like it was made of paper.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm like, okay.
Okay. Let's cool things off a bit.
Like in my head, I'm like, I know what that coffee table was made of.
yeah, that was like a freaking steel coffee table.
Was made of
adamantine lace. Concrete.
That explains the grey.
It was made of Wolverine's claws.
We used his bones to make this table.
It had inexplicable sideburns.
Oh no. Just little sideburns on the side of the table. Where did these come from? We made it out of a man. Okay.
Morgan is like, is she breathing?
I don't think I've like broken eye contact with you with you at all.
She's breathing, she's fine.
Okay.
She's fine. Adib?
Yeah.
Can you take her?
Yeah, I get up and start helping.
Did I get you too?
Oh no, this is not you.
Except it kind of is.
So I'll like hand the unconscious mini over to Adib.
I think at that level of like being moved around, Minnie will start to be like, What?
I place her on the couch.
Just it's glowing too much. I don't want to hatch yet.
I mean, Morgan is crying. Like, she's not okay. She's trying not to touch anything.
Having put, handed Minnie over, I'm going to, like, start very carefully approaching Morgan.
No, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I can't control it.
I would like to suggest that, Morgan, you take the hopeless condition.
Yeah?
Oof. I feel like, or the afraid condition, whichever you think is more appropriate. So afraid gives you -2 to directly engage, and hopeless gives you -2 to unleash your powers. So I think hopeless might be the one.
Yeah, hopeless makes sense, right?
Yeah. As you look at your friend in front of you, just kind of stirring in this unconsciousness that you've inflicted, you feel like, is there any way that I can ever keep control of these powers? Is it even possible?
Should I even have, you know, this is why I was kept away from people for so long, like,
I don't want to hatch.
That's got to be helping.
Just a few more eons.
Minnie's fine.
She will. When, she.
She'll be fine. She's fine.
She will wake up. They always wake up.
Okay. And when you've taken power from people before, how do you release it?
How do you
get rid of it?
It just fades. It fades. It fades over time.
Okay. I'm gonna put my gloves on. And I'm gonna just, like, hold out both my hands.
She is not gonna take them because she doesn't know how strong she is. She doesn't want to crush your hands.
She checks out.
Don't touch me. I don't know how strong I am.
Okay. Just sit down with me.
And I'll just sort of sit in front of you.
I don't want to ascend yet. Oh, Mom.
I mean, Morgan is just going to be trying not to have a panic attack, basically, which would make things so much worse right now.
Yeah.
Just breathing.
So, I know that is a fern.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, these ones over here, like, I have no idea what those are. And the spiky one and... What are those?
The spiky one's a cactus. That's because we fought the cactus man.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that one, the dark green with the light in the leaves, those are rubber plants. I brought 3 of those.
Why are they called rubber plants?
I don't know. Morgan cries.
I think at this point, Bluebell has been staying back quite warily, but you see her and her shadow kind of exchange a glance, and the shadow moves forward and attempts to, like, touch you gently on the shoulder.
I mean, Morgan will wince, but actually that's fine. That's probably fine.
Yeah, because it's an incorporeal being, so you can feel a sort of half weight on your shoulder, like it's the kind of the memory of a touch on your shoulder, and yeah, that might bring you a little bit of calm.
Yeah, I think I'll see that, and then I'll small sigh from inside the helmet that I will definitely have been wearing because Bluebell is still here. Mm-hmm. And seeing that you're kind of starting to calm down, but maybe not entirely there, and, you know, can't be that nice just sitting across from a guy in a full-faced helmet, so I will take it off.
Okay.
I'm going for comfort support again. That's what I'm going for. I'm going to try
it. Into your strength.
I'm going to try it again. Hey, I got a plus one now.
Yeah.
True.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try. That is a lot better than last time. That's an 8.
Hey.
Woo.
You can immediately clear that condition, I think. Or we can do some label shifting if you want.
I think label shifting is going to be more appropriate. And I think I should take my one from Saviour and add it to danger. So I would. I'm allowed to have three on a label, aren't I?
Yeah, so one goes down, one goes up.
Yeah, so my Saviour is going down by one, which is now 0, and my danger has now gone up by one.
I think you can have a minimum of -2 and a maximum of +3 on any stat.
So yeah, I'm now considering myself extremely dangerous. Which is true, frankly.
Is this the kind of appropriate moment for Minnie to begin to kind of open eyes? Oh, hello,
Minnie, I'm sorry. I think I drained you.
Oh, that explains why I feel so heavy. Like, because Minnie is usually like just slightly altering her density all the time, which is why she's so like bouncy. It's something that you one tends to kind of think it's part of her character, but like every movement is slightly exaggerated and slightly bouncy.
That's awesome.
But it's like actually that she's slightly lighter than gravity. She's like, but I feel heavy and it's all dark. So dark. But this is not that she's like fading and dying. It's just like, again, like, she's usually slightly, like, unconsciously manipulating light around her.
Just lying there like, I see a bright light. Oh, no. It's like, no, I literally see a bright light.
The lights are really stark and bright. Yeah. And he's like, what? I didn't say anything weird, did I? No. We're all really normal here together. And falls asleep. But like, this is not unconscious, just like asleep.
Yeah. When I've done it to my uncle before, this is normal. He needed to rest after he needed to sleep. So she should be okay.
I'm sure she will be fine. Just going to sit quietly with you until you're kind of feeling like you're not just going to accidentally put your arms through stuff.
Yeah. And maybe after like half an hour or something, Morgan would be like, can you just, I don't know, like she stopped rocking and crying. can you maybe pass me part of the coffee table and I can like see how I can test my strength on it.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's already broken, right? Oh, God, I'm so sorry about your coffee table.
I'll go over to the coffee table, which has been, like, split. There's, like, mostly it's one piece, but there's, like, maybe a couple of bits that are broken off that are still quite large, and you'll actively watch Zenith, like, reach down and, like, grunt lifting this thing up. Like, it's heavy. And, like, bring it over to you and put it in your hand.
Yeah, and, like, Morgan will reach out and just take it with one hand and be like, okay. Okay, I'm not crushing it accidentally. Like, I think...
Yes, like I can just bend it in the normal amount.
Yeah. She's just, like, testing it, like, throwing it up a tiny little bit like you would a ball. Just be like, okay.
I'll put a hand up, be like, to help you up.
Look, thank you, but I think I'll... Okay, actually, Morgan will take it so carefully.
Yeah.
And, like, she won't close her hands on you and will put no pressure on your hand. She just wants to... It's the gesture.
Yeah.
And she'll stand up.
And like that coffee table anyway.
She laughs and Needy cries again.
And I'd just like to point out we are now 3-for-3 for Zenith Heart to Hearts. Completely organically without any interference on my part.
Oh, he's the beating grey husk of a heart of the team.
And by the third one, I feel like I was actively trying to be, you know, I've learned.
Yeah, growth.
I've grown.
Yeah.
I've learned. Do my labels shift again? No, probably not. Okay.
I don't think this experience makes you feel very mundane. give it like another 20 minutes and Minnie will wake up. Even if that is like much shorter than the amount of time that your uncle would take.
Oh, that makes sense.
She kind of gets up and is like, can I have a milkshake?
I will get you a grey milkshake that has the words milkshake written on the side of it. Yes.
Oh, thank you. This is everything I wanted.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Minnie. And Adib, I'm sorry if I made you and everyone, Bluebell, I don't have visions very often, and they take me by surprise. Sorry.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. It's, I had a really nice dream.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like I had two visions, almost. Like, there were some people, like, I felt like they really cared, you know? And they were calling me Minnie. I don't know what that was. So that was the first thing.
I will turn a completely blank and impassive face towards Minnie.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you just absorbed one of my memories or you know, it's not like I have relatives that are very powerful psychics that would be aware of
but you
like,
have
any time that our spirits are entangled or anything like that. That would be absurd.
But my uncle is a psychic. That's quite normal, actually, to me. So.
Oh, okay, then yes, I have that. That's normal.
Yeah.
Make a note. Normal human things, relatives who are psychics. Everyone's got one.
Yeah. You know, where I'm from, there's like a whole stage of life where people often struggle to control their powers, so it's very normal, actually, like really normal, and it's not something I would ever get angry about. It's not something you did on purpose. It's just how your body works, and that's fine. We'll just learn how to manage it in a way that means that it's safer for you and everyone. That's fine.
Thank you.
I don't know, is that comforting? Ooh.
That actually might, if you roll for that, that might clear my hopeless.
I might roll a comfort.
Yeah,
you're normal for Minnie. Whatever that means.
Your friend Minnie.
So that's a 7.
Hey.
Woo.
Yeah.
I am so comforted right now.
Yeah.
Thank you, I've lost my hopeless condition.
Yeah. In Minnie's eyes, it's all okay. And it's going to be okay.
I know I technically succeeded on the roll, but I think...
Oh, yeah.
No. I know I technically succeeded on the roll, but we did the different thing with the shifting labels. I think this is very much Joseph watching a person he now 100% knows to be an alien do a better job at being a considerate human than him.
No, but she's... like, one of the things is that Minnie is definitely, like, drawing on her own alienness, right, for it to be okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with it. You're relating
yeah,
to her, like it's... you have a shared experience, and he's just sort of like,
yeah.
Bluebell pipes up from like having backed up into a corner of the room because this is quite a scary situation for her, but she sort of creeps forward and is like, yeah, I when I was growing up and my shadow manifested, sometimes it would, like, do things that I didn't want it to do, like flushing the toilet 10 times in a row.
Oh.
And like, that's probably not helpful, but, like, yeah, my parents got really mad.
Oh, thanks for sharing.
Minnie reaches out with these kind of strangely heavy-seeming arms. It's just, like, her normal bounciness is just not there. And, like, hug!
Oh, God. Morgan's like, I just...
Like, Minnie's going to grab Bluebell and have the arm extended, like, around Morgan, but not like touch, is like hovering.
What Morgan will do is just back up so that her back is touching your arm, but not put her arms around you because she's still terrified that she's going to crush you.
It's a very awkward hug.
It's a very awkward hug, but it's okay. It's heartfelt. I did actually see something that might be useful.
Oh!
Adib, I saw Poltergeist. He was planning on going to Chapter Hospital tonight. 10:30 is when he's going to be there. And I saw, like a rundown building, door number 12, but I didn't get the rest of the address.
Is this enough information to know where he would be?
I think, unfortunately, you wouldn't know enough specifically, but you might know the area, because it's probably the same kind of district that the dive bar is in. You think that if you went to that particular area and combed through the streets and looked at all the doors, then Morgan might be able to recognize which door it was.
I'm not sure. Should we go and try to find them before they head out? Or should we wait there and...
Well, we've got the tour at 4:30.
Presumably it's about 12 o'clock right now, because I think that would have taken a bit of time.
Yeah, it's probably about midday at this point.
Would anyone mind if we order some food? I feel really...
I was going to say, empty. I think you should definitely eat, Minnie. I'm sorry I took quite a lot of your energy.
Yeah, we can just order to the reception downstairs and go pick it up.
Yeah, Jez is like, I did it all the time.
Yes, you can. There's only so many grey ready meals that you can have before you really need some takeout.
Yeah, 100%. Like when Minnie's like, oh, can we maybe eat something? Joseph's like coming out with like, I have grey food. Oh no, nobody wants grey food. I was raised on grey food. How do you think I became so grey? You are what you eat, baby. And I am a grey man.
Out of curiosity, what cuisine do you order in for
Chinese?
Colourful and, yeah, I was going to say like colourful and spicy. Like,
cool.
Nice.
Chinese. Yeah.
And so while our superheroes take a little break to have a little Chinese carry out, we will also take a short break from the episode and we'll be right back.
Oh, I wish I had Chinese.
And welcome back. So as you finish your impromptu lunch of delicious Chinese food, what would you like to do?
Shall we just skip to the tour and say that we just spent the afternoon recovering from what just happened, unless somebody wants to do something?
I think that's fair.
Everyone needs a nap, folks. Mm. Like,
Morgan is going to be in the workout room just kind of like working out, trying not to break anything to get rid of some of this energy. But
it's good energy, yeah. Though. You're like, yeah. Whoo, good energy.
Her hair probably stops glowing.
Do you get any of the, like, any echo of the power that you've drained? So it's like, I assume not that much, because otherwise you'd go around being really planty.
Yeah.
But no. Like, you're just, the light quivers a little bit and sometimes you feel lighter.
Yeah, maybe.
I suppose it would probably come across as feeling a bit nauseous because gravity isn't working quite as you expect.
Yeah.
Rather than feeling like you are you and you have less mass, it's more like, things are not quite where and how I expect them.
I'm very happy for Minnie's energy to be different to anything that I've ever absorbed before. And also, in that case, to retcon, she doesn't work out. She goes to try to work out and is like, nope, and just like lies on the floor. Cheeks to the mat, like, no, I'm fine. I'm just going to stay here.
Just planks for a solid, like 2 hours.
Yeah. Horizontal T posing.
Yes, exactly.
Nice. So everyone takes the few hours between lunch and the tour to recover and
get some sleep.
Yeah.
Get some sleep. Slash.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair, actually. Yeah.
Just teens being super. Having an afternoon nap.
Having eaten Chinese food and then having a nap. This dynamic, exciting super team.
I think we're all in our early 20s rather than teens, yeah. Right? So it's just like, just recent graduates being recent graduates.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I need a nap in real life right
yeah.
now. So
it's my just early 20s being played by early 30s people. Having Chinese
people
food and having a nap.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds, that's quite a big day.
Yeah. I'm exhausted just thinking about it.
Nice. So yeah, as the time comes around for the tour to start, you can make your way to the UTBC building however you choose. You may want to go public transport, plain clothes, I assume.
Yeah. I think Joseph has like a duffel bag with him.
Unsuspicious. Definitely
really
no
not
weapons.
Very suspicious at all, duffel bag. But apart from that, it's just in his normal grey clothes that are very grey and grey.
Minnie is wearing one of the... She's found a bunch of shirts. I think she probably fell asleep on a pile of clothes and there was a pile of shirts and she's now wearing a shirt that is enormous on her as a kind of dress.
Nice.
With a tactical belt around.
Mm-hmm. Wait, how tactical is this belt?
It's pretty tactical.
What about
strategy.
It makes it tactical?
It's got lots of little pockets.
Oh, okay. Hey. I like that.
That's
I was
nice.
Just imagining, like, you got it from Taj, so it's like a military.
It's one of the things on your like pile of quite for you very normal clothes, but has pockets and hoops and stuff. So it's like normal for your superhero style dress rather than normal thing,
okay.
But with wearing it with like a shirt dress, it just kind of gives it a good geometricness.
Not to hit a nail too hard on the head here for the listeners who, you know, might at this point have worked out where I have obtained most of my inspiration for this character from. Effectively, you're wearing a big shirt as a dress with Batman's utility belt.
Around the middle.
Incredible.
Cool. Look,
going forwards, there's probably some stuff in there.
Maybe.
So yeah, as you come up to the UTBC headquarters, it's just a plain cylinder of glass. Like all the walls are curved round. There's the thinnest metal beams connecting all these ginormous curved windows. And there's the sliding doors in the front. And as you enter, there's a young man there who ushers you in and gestures for you to go through the security gates. If you want to get your stuff in, Zenith, then it'll have to go through a metal detector.
I don't think Zenith has brought any... He's not brought his traditional costume, that's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
Cool.
It's brought a different... Definitely brought something if things go super heroic at some point, but I've not brought the full helmet and the armor and all of that kind of stuff.
So presumably it won't set off the detector if it goes through.
Yeah, okay. So the bag's going through detectors. I'm going through a detector as well. I guess I just don't have my gear.
I would bet that you have like carbon fiber versions of
I was
stuff.
Gonna say, I feel yeah. like you've got stuff that you're prepared for this eventuality, surely.
Yeah, like there will be like a plastic kind of... That stuff made out of advanced materials that don't set off the detector.
No, I'm going to say he hasn't brought it. I'm just going in as a dude, and if stuff goes down, I'll just have to handle it without any of my gadgets. That's more... That to me is more fun, narratively.
Nice, yeah. Might have to do some Buffy-style improvised weapons.
This is... You always want to do that.
Yeah. Get a table leg and just stab someone with it, yeah.
Yeah.
None of the things that might have been left in the tactical belt set off the alarms.
I don't know, like that belt, there's nothing in that belt that would set an alarm off. Not to say it doesn't have anything useful in it, but...
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
It's just got an inflatable dinghy. push a little button in it.
Yeah.
I imagine that Minnie kind of just grabs the stuff that she fell asleep on, and fashions a somehow incredibly it just works type outfit out of the stuff that she was literally asleep on because they need something to, you know, all need to get out. And I don't know, the weather's changed. Whatever she turned up in, it's so last minute. And you look at it and you're like, oh, okay, that's the one where you look over the devices on the belt and it's like, yeah, that's just a dinghy and that's like a spork. Yeah, it'll be fine.
I am now determined to use this dinghy in the next scene.
Cannon.
There's a dinghy in the belt.
It's it's like a dinghy and like, you know, useful camping supplies.
Yeah.
This is your
External. Yeah. This is your all-weather tactical belt.
Yeah, it was back when I was a kid and I was going undercover in the scouts. not a joke.
oh, no.
I've been a tiny, tiny little soldier for such a long time.
You managed to get through the security procedures of this news corporation relatively smoothly, and the young man who is running the tour is just like, well, guys, welcome to UTBC. Great to have you here, and I hope that we might be seeing you in the future as employees. But first of all, let's take you around our newsroom. And he brings you into the newsroom where the vast majority of the journalists who are on shift are...
I grab a table leg and I stab him with it.
Justified. Honestly justified.
Is this in your head?
Yes,
or...
yes, that doesn't happen. That was me doing a joke. Doing a callbacky joke.
I see. Yeah.
Yes, so you can see all these hardworking journalists pouring through press releases and wires and things that I vaguely remember from my Radio MA to do with news. There's honestly not very much to see. It's just a lot of people at computers occasionally answering the phone. This young man, whose name I will say is Thomas, is just talking nonsense at you constantly, telling you about the merits of the particular like vending machines that they have. You also get to have a peek at the studios where they record the 6 o'clock news and this kind of stuff. You don't get to go like fully in, but you can go kind of behind a two-way glass thing and just sort of look through so that you don't interrupt anything. You're just being led through various corridors and to little kind of studio booths where audio reports are recorded. Basically, this is a very mundane tour of a very boring corporate organization. Like, all the stuff is very nice. It is definitely well kitted out. Like, the graphic design is on point. But yeah, other than that, this is all that you can glean at this point in time.
So I guess during the tour, just be really looking out for...
spooky stuff.
Yeah. Top secret doors.
As you are wandering through on this tour, you can absolutely make an assess the situation roll to see if you can spot anything that requires further investigation or an opportunity to slip away.
Let's do that rolling.
Or
thing.
If you have abilities that relate to surveillance, you may also use Unleash Your Powers, whatever you prefer.
Wait, I do have something for this.
Ooh, a 7.
Yeah, Morgan also got a 7.
I got a 13.
Ooh, spicy. Ooh.
I am going to use my move, mild-mannered, to slip past and just try to walk around like as if I belong there.
Excellent. And is that something that just automatically happens or do you have to roll?
Yeah, I have to roll plus mundane. So on a hit, they buy my facade. Between 7 to 9, I have to choose either they're under observation, I leave something incriminating behind, or I am forced to make a fool of myself to sell it.
Cool. Amazing. Yes, please give me that mundane roll.
Okay, that is 8.
8, nice.
I'll choose under observation, because I am not in a mental state to make a fool out of myself, nor am I willing to leave something incriminating behind.
You spot a moment where Thomas is distracted by explaining in depth to another young woman on the tour exactly how important he is in this organization and how much he knows that he's going to get a promotion in at least the next 6 months. So you spot someone has left their lanyard on the back of their chair quite carelessly. Ooh. and a jacket, a very kind of plain suit jacket, and you manage to swipe them both, pop them on, and you can just kind of peel off from the group and blend in with the rest of the news people. In terms of what Morgan and Minnie see, you can see that there is a big sign with the like what is on each floor of this building at next to the elevator. Mm-hmm. And you can see that on the top floor, as you would imagine, is where the CEO's office is. Mm. And you can also see that there is a department that is like very euphemistically titled. It's like technical services or something along those lines that just seems really weird for a news organization to have, and you think that's probably sus, right?
Minnie will ask questions about the technical department, and if, because, like, you know, I was thinking of working in technical things. So I wondered if you could expand on the jobs available there and like the technology that they use and, you know, if there's any, what kind of training I should do to get good at the technical stuff.
Yeah, well, actually, that's not really my area of expertise. That is generally kept quite hush-hush. They do a lot of research and development stuff. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of new tech kind of things mm-hmm. that they kind of keep hush-hush because mm-hmm. they don't want people stealing their patents mm-hmm. or anything. So, yeah, that's... Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're into like engineering and stuff, then for sure you can ask about that. It's just
who should I ask? Is there anyone I can ask now? I'm on a bit of a time limit, you know, because I have all these technical skills and there's like other careers I could be doing. So you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could ask Fiona Claret. She's relatively high up in the organization and usually oversees that kind of stuff.
Go straight to the top. Wow, is she around? Could I say hi to her?
Could you give me a provoke roll to see if you can...
Get somebody to do what you want.
Ah, I see. So I have rolled a 8.
Excellent.
Nice.
You gain a critical opportunity. So they make a mistake and they say, oh yeah, she actually, she has open office hours around this time on a Monday. So if you head up to her office on the 7th floor, then you can probably catch her.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Bye.
And then he's like, wait, oh God.
Not supposed to give out employee information.
And yeah, just kind of plays it off as, yeah, I'm just so helpful. And meanwhile, Zenith, you can absolutely take this opportunity to fully slip out of sight into some kind of vent or
sure. I mean, that's,
or
that's
like
not...
back corridor or
I love that we're all just set, like Adiba's like just whoosh, disguised himself and disappeared into their thing. Minnie's like hopped to the lift to go to the 7th floor. I jump into a vent and it's just Morgan like, okay.
Morgan, the one that this guy's been trying to impress the whole time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Thomas has been like, whoa, you're very strong.
am I? I'm sorry.
What? You don't need to apologize. It's very cool. I mean, I haven't seen anyone as jacked as you for like ever.
That Morgan's inadvertently the decoy. I love it.
Yeah. He's like, do you do these weight training exercises? Because I bet I could show you a better routine.
Yeah. It's like, I've actually been watching loads of fitness TikToks and I might be able to give you some tips. And this is like a very gangly
weedy
man.
Weedy little dude standing in front of this absolutely jacked woman.
Sure.
Little, okay, fine. In that case, if that's where we're going with this, sure. I think you're like, oh, okay, and you sort of look slightly over his shoulder, and I'm just like, nod, little tiny thumbs up, and yeah. I think
into a vent.
I think you just see Zenith like give you the nod, give you a little thumbs up, and then like glance upwards, and there is a little sort of ventilation thing on the wall. And while he's talking to you, and there's a moment where the corridor is kind of clear, I'll jump, kick off one of the walls, grab onto this vent, and then like swing like a almost like a trapeze, swing my whole body up into it, and then just vanish.
Morgan's like, tell me more about the form you use when you're deadlifting. Morgan has no need for form.
Right. You are our sacrificial lamb on this mission, yeah. And we appreciate it.
Her eyes are just glassing over, like,
I do really want this to end with you just being like, yeah, I know it won't because of what's just happened, but just like, yeah, go to sleep.
Eventually.
Adib would try to find anything that seems like off limits and wait for somebody to open the door and just walk in as if he's part of the work there. So either I succeed and it goes well, or I fail and we all get in trouble.
Can I just check at this point, are we linked by comms.
Would they have got through a metal detector?
Yeah, I think they would have got through.
They look like
I
headphones.
Guess headphones don't set off metal detectors,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think they're essentially jazzed up headphones, so I think it would be
well,
okay.
Let's have that be our one concession. We've got our little earpiece. We've got our earpieces, so we can still talk to each other. For my money, I will be trying to move through the vents into. I want to get into the. A bit like what Adib is doing. I want to get like behind the scenes, basically. Like Joseph's trying to find the you know, wherever the little, if they have little service rooms and wherever the sort of backstage areas of this studio are. That's where I'm trying to get to.
Nice. And Minnie is presumably going up to talk to Fiona.
The seventh floor.
Love it. I love it.
Just open face value. Hey, what spooky stuff are you doing?
Yeah, but I am under observation. That's the thing. So, do I need? What do I need to roll here?
I would suggest that you roll mundane to see if you can kind of blend in enough to be unnoticeable and seem like you belong there. So yeah, you spot a door with staff only on it that has kind of more fortification on this door than you would deem necessary for a news organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what kind of technology are really they developing? Eight.
Nice. Yeah. You manage to catch someone coming out of that door, and then you do the sort of awkward dance of, oh, which way are you going? Which way am I going? Oh, sorry. And then you manage to just kind of, in a beautifully kind of timed dance, get past them because you seem like you meant to be going that way. You slip behind the scenes and you can see that there is just banks and banks of surveillance equipment. Very similar to stuff that you've seen in Joseph's apartment. And if you want to, you can get on these computers and you can search for any relevant information that might be pertinent. Like the person who's just left is clearly like not logged out of their account.
I would try to find the warehouse that we went to. Try to find out what they did there and hopefully, if we're lucky, delete our footage.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Please roll plus superior. I'm going to say it's kind of an adapted assess the situation role.
Is there like an assisty thing here?
Oh yeah, I could connect with him.
Because I could maybe talk him through some stuff if he's trying to do a little bit of a hack kind of thing.
So I get a plus one.
Yeah, you can take plus one for that. That's perfect.
Yeah, I'll be trying to help Adib through.
Seven and a plus one from Zenith, that's an eight.
Excellent. Yeah, you do manage to find the recordings from the security camera that was watching you at Clear Vision Trading. If you want to, you can just take that whole segment of footage and just delete it.
Absolutely. And I want to see what they were doing before we were there. Like whenever Poltergeist and everyone else.
Yeah, you can rewind the footage back a couple of days to the point where Bluebell spotted a couple of people hanging out in there. And you can see from the footage that she runs and hides in the cupboard, as she said, as she hears people coming in. You can see that there is a woman in a magenta wine-coloured suit, very well fitted. She's got hair that is in those sort of Hollywood waves that are just incredibly improbable and can only be done by like an expert stylist. And she has the lanyard on. If you do the classic pause, enhance, you can zoom in on her lanyard and it says Fiona Claret.
Yeah. Pinch the screen trying to zoom in.
Yeah. And you also see a few moments later, Poltergeist coming in. And as we established, these cameras record audio, so you can hear their discussion. You hear them talking about how, as Bluebell mentioned, they need more villains to be able to make the initiative work. Fiona is asking Poltergeist to recruit more people to spread the word that they need villains to do jobs for them. They're talking quite euphemistically, even though they're obviously in a very private space. They're conscious that anyone could be listening at any time, so they're not talking super plainly, but you can see that they're definitely in cahoots and that Fiona is clearly involved in this somehow and tasking Poltergeist with getting more villains on side.
Uh-oh.
And I think at this point, as Adib has delved into the mainframe of UTBC, we are going to end the episode there. So,
we're in, gang!
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Chapter Multiverse. We're really getting into nitty-gritty right now. So before we finish up, I would like to ask our wonderful players where we can find them on the internet and if they have anything to plug, starting with Lydia.
Oh, hi, it's me. I am on Twitter at Lyd Nicholas and Urban Chooks, and I am on various other Rusty Quill podcasts, and The Town Whispers.
Beautiful. And Ahmed.
Hi, everyone. You can find me everywhere at Mr. Jabri, usually on Twitter, where I share Arab tidbits and stuff you can use for your tabletop RPG characters and world building. Just find the avatar with the turban.
Sweet. And Lowry.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at LowryTweets and on some other Rusty Quill shows. Just give them all a go. Find out which one I am in.
It's a treasure hunt, and the treasure is Lowry.
Yay! And Pip.
Yes, you can find me at Pip_Gladwin on Twitter and just all over the internet. I'm everywhere. You'll never escape me.
Yeah, you're behind me right now.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maddie_abstract, where there are links to all the various things that I do. And we hope to see you next time on Chapter Multiverse. But until then, from all of us here in the Space Between Worlds, goodbye!
Goodbye!
Bye.
Chapter and Multiverse is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 4.0 International license. It is directed by Maddie Searle and produced by Natasha Johnston, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. The Eternal Tavern Keeper was played by Kareem Cronfley. This episode was edited by Tessa Vroom and Maddie Searle, with music by Nico Vertese. Thank you for listening.